So this month, all of our sermons are on the theme, Go and Be the Church. We're considering a specific part of our vision, mission statement each week. To remind you, our statement that we are following as church is this: a community that loves Jesus, where everyone is welcomed, faith grows and hearts are generous. Today we're focusing on the faith grows aspect, and to do that we're considering the subject of discipleship. Discipleship is really meant to be the journey of our lifetime. My encouragement to you this morning is go and keep growing in Christ. Our Christian lives, they are not just for a moment. Our Christian lives are meant to be a movement. We should be different today from the day when we first came to know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. For us, it's not about a single decision. It's actually about taking a lifelong direction. When we placed our faith in Jesus, when we acknowledged Him as Lord and Saviour, we began the greatest journey of life, the journey of discovering more about God for ourselves, the journey of growing daily, the journey of daily trusting, the journey of knowing that whatever we face, we don't face it alone, that God is always with us. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. In these words, we see three movements that are part of discipleship. There's the fact that we must continue to follow. There's the encouragement to grow deep and also to be built up in the Lord. See, this is what it means to live as a disciple of Jesus. A growing faith, a transformed heart, and a daily walk that is marked with humility, obedience, and dare I say it, maturity. There are many in the modern churches today that are like babies. They are still feeding on milk rather than the solid food of God's word. And all of us have to dig deeper. All of us have to understand more. All of us need to understand what it is that we believe. We need to walk daily, and we do that by prayer, we do that by spending time in the Word, we do that by fellowshipping with one another, taking time out from our busy schedules to just pause and be with the Lord, to be with our family, to be with our friends, to spend time just worshipping and praising God together. First point, discipleship is a lifelong journey of growth. The Apostle Paul reminds us, continue to follow him. Now, the Greek word that's used here for continue is peripatio. It means to walk around, to live, to conduct our life, to continue, to carry on. There's a sense here of movement. There's a sense here of direction. There is a sense here that we can't just stand still. And sadly, in the 21st century, there are many Christians who are comfortable just doing the bare minimum for the Lord. They might read a verse of scripture every day. They might pray if they remember. They might go to church if it's convenient. But to push on, to keep growing, those are things that we must do every day. Discipleship, as I've said, it's not a one-time event. It is an ongoing walk with Jesus. It's about keeping on, keeping on. And yes, there will be difficult times. Yes, there will be times when we struggle. There'll be times when we stumble. There'll be times when our faith is perhaps smaller than a mustard seed. But we need to carry on. In Philippians 1 verse 6 it says, "And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." Friends, this verse, it's a reassurance. The journey is lifelong, but God himself guarantees the outcome. We will be with Christ. I can't think of anything more wonderful than actually beholding the face of God, being in his presence where we can see him, hear him for ourselves. John Piper wrote this, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him." And at times, to grow in Christ, it might feel like we're just doing some duties. But it's not meant to be duty, it's meant to be delight. We are meant to be happy that we're growing in the Lord. It's not about just surviving as a Christian. It's all about living in him. It's all about living for him. It's about being the people that God has called us to be. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I would like to hope that all of you this morning are satisfied in Christ. That all of you are content with what God is doing in your life right now. But is God content with what you're doing for him? Is God content with how often you pray? Is God content with how you show his love to other people? We are not meant to just survive. We are meant to thrive, and we are meant to share the truth of the gospel with others, that they may come to follow him too. And that as we continue to follow him, that we might be able to participate in gathering in other people that need to hear the truth, that need to be saved themselves. It's a process, it's a journey, it's something that takes time. If you think about a tree for a moment, a tree does not reach maturity overnight. Year after year, the roots of a tree are meant to dig deeper. Its trunk is meant to grow stronger, and its branches spread wider. And unlike the tree that has disappeared from outside our church, in storms, trees stand. They withstand because they have these unseen roots that anchor them. And friends, we grow when we are anchored in Christ. When we allow the roots of our faith to go down into him, to be grounded in him, we grow. And in our growth, we take those opportunities to share with others the truth of who Jesus is. Let me ask you some questions. Are you expecting instant maturity in your Christian life? Are you expecting to suddenly know everything there is to know about the God who loves you? Do you allow the Spirit to shape you? Do you allow God to guide you step by step, season by season? In our lives, we all experience seasons. Years ago, Solomon wrote about seasons in the book of Ecclesiastes. There are times to plant and sow, there are times to grow, there are times to reap. There are times when we just need to pause and be still and know that God is God. And then there's times when God calls us to action. He calls us out in faith. He calls us to take that step of faith that we might be fearful of, but we know that God is with us. Second point, discipleship requires humility, obedience, and transformation. Paul says, "Let your roots grow down into him." if we're honest, for us to grow as believers, as for us to grow in love for our Lord, there needs to be a humility that's present in our lives. We really need to recognise that without him, our strength isn't adequate. Without him, without God actively at work in our lives, we just wouldn't cope, would we? There are many in this world who think that they're strong, and then they meet with God and they realise that what they thought was strength pales into comparison compared to the strength that the Lord gives us. To witness, to speak, to love, to act, to live our daily lives, all of that strength comes from our Lord. Romans 12:2, it reminds us, don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We may have ideas, we may have plans, we may have things that we really, really want to do. But if our thinking is off, if we're not following what the Lord has told us that we must do in our lives, then we're not being transformed. Instead of allowing God to work in us and through us, we try and do things our own way. The Greek word that's used here for transform is metamorpho. It comes from the same root as the word metamorphosis. And just as a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, discipleship should result in a radical change in the way in which we live our lives. Our thoughts should change, our actions should change, our very heart should change as we grow closer to our Lord. As we allow God to teach us, to shape us, to mould us, to move us, we will be truly transformed. But life isn't always easy, is it? Sometimes we hope that something will go in a certain direction, and actually life takes a turn the opposite way from where we want to be. R.T. Kendall said this, he said, the greatest test of humility is how we respond when God says no. I'm sure all of us have experienced a time in our lives when we've prayed for something and we've been so certain that it would be God's will for whatever it was we prayed for to come to pass. But in God's wisdom, he doesn't answer our prayer in the way that we expected. And we worry, we get stressed, we think, why? And it's not wrong for us to question God, because God does reveal himself to us. He stills our minds, he brings peace to our hearts, but we need to trust him. And if God says no about something, it's because that's what's best. We might not agree, but then we don't have perfect thought. We don't know the future. We do not know what the consequences of certain actions would be if God allowed what we always prayed about to happen. But we can trust God. We can trust the Creator who spoke this universe into being. We can trust the one who from the beginning planned our rescue, planned to send his only begotten Son to pay the penalty for our sins. I said recently during a sermon, what if Jesus on the cross, instead of saying, it's finished, said, well, I've died for everyone else, but I'm not gonna die for you. His sacrifice was sufficient for all who would believe. There is no one left out from the possibility of salvation unless a person actively rejects Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We must come to him, we must choose to follow him, we must choose to grow in him, even during those times when perhaps he says to us, no. Our obedience is not measured by how we act when God agrees with us. It's about how we submit to God when he challenges us. Think about a potter at the wheel. The clay might initially resist, but the potter continues to press and shape and smooth until the clay becomes a vessel of beauty. Friends, God is the potter, we are the clay, and we must yield to his transforming touch upon our lives. We have to allow him to shape us, to change us, and at times even completely reshape us. God will work in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. He will knock off the rough edges that we refuse to remove ourselves. He will change us. He will transform us. He makes us into something that's beautiful in his sight. Elsewhere in scripture, we are referred to as God's masterpiece. Some of you look like a masterpiece. Some of you look like the finest Rembrandt. Me, I'm more of a Picasso. Still a work in progress. We're all a work in progress, aren't we? We need to let God work in us. We need to allow him to reshape us. We need to allow his touch upon our lives. And that can be a quick process or it could be a slow process. But he's with us every step of the way. I wonder if I asked you this morning, are you willing to allow God to challenge you? Are you willing to allow God to stretch you, to shape you, to mould you? Are you willing to allow the word of God to bring real change into your life? See, discipleship, it's all about saying, Lord, not my will, but thine. Not what I want, Lord, but what you want. That's meant to be our reaction. That's meant to be how we live. But so often we bring a but, don't we? Lord, I want you to change me, but not yet. Lord, I want to be patient right now. Lord, I want. How better for us to pray, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, move as you want to move. Third point, discipleship involves teaching, mentoring, and living witness. Paul continues on here, let your lives be built on him. He's the firm foundation. He's the solid rock that cannot be moved. And our faith is built on him. But our faith was never meant to be built in isolation. Our faith was meant to be built within community, within family. Jesus modeled that kind of discipleship. He taught the crowds, he mentored the 12. He sent them out as witnesses to tell other people, Messiah has come. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Friends, this is generous discipleship. Not just receiving, not just applying, but passing on the truth. Telling others. I often wonder, how much do I really love others? Do I love them enough to want them to be saved? Friends, family, people that I've worked with over the years, how many opportunities to share about Jesus did I deliberately ignore because the love just wasn't in my heart? What Paul's talking about here is generational discipleship. Receiving truth, applying truth, passing on truth from person to person, from generation to generation. Charles Stanley once wrote, "Obey God and leave all the consequences to Him." Friends, are you obeying God? Are you following the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion? Are you going into your sphere of influence and actually telling people who Jesus is? See, a true disciple lives in obedience to God's commands. A true disciple is willing to give testimony about how God has transformed their lives. No one can argue with what's happened in your life. You know what you were before, you know who you are now, you know that you're secure in Christ, and you can share your story with others. Friends, are you a living testimony to the fact that you know Jesus? I mean, when people look at you, when people talk to you, do they think that you're a nice person? Or do they know that you're someone who loves God? Someone who's active in promoting the truth of the kingdom? Is the language that you use outside of these four walls different from the language that you would use within these walls? Are there words, thoughts, concepts that you voice that should have no place in the life of a disciple? Are you salt, are you light in this dark world? Are you speaking truth, or do you ignore truth to camouflage yourself from those around you? And in the part about mentoring, I have to ask you three questions. Who is mentoring you? Who are you allowing to help you to grow in your faith? And if you've grown in your faith, if you're continuing to grow in your faith, who are you mentoring? Who are you sharing truth with? Who are you encouraging on the journey? Who are you helping to be built up in the faith and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? All of us should be mentors. All of us need to be mentees. All of us need to continue to learn. But I suppose the most important question for me to ask is, who is it in your sphere of influence? Who is it in your world, your community? Who is seeing the gospel lived out through you every day? Who is it that sees you're obedient to God's word? Who is it that sees that you believe God's word? That you stand upon the fact that the Bible is true? Who is it that you're showing that to? Fourth point, discipleship produces maturity and overflowing witness. Finally, Paul says, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Are we all thankful this morning? Have we all got something to be thankful for? I'm thankful for every breath. I'm thankful that gravity still works. I'm thankful that I woke up this morning and I wasn't stuck to the ceiling because gravity had twisted round overnight. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for my biological family. I'm thankful for so many things. Some of you don't look that thankful this morning. Don't turn around, don't look at anybody else in the room. But there are some people in here right now that really look like they would perhaps rather be somewhere else. Now, maybe that's because I'm teaching about discipleship, and discipleship is challenging because it involves us actually doing something. It actually involves us working to become mature in Christ. As I mentioned earlier, some of us in the modern church as spiritual infants, we have no influence, and the word of God has no influence over us because we're just happy sipping milk. But we need to dig deeper. Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 14. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. This is a sober indictment on the 21st century. There are those in the world who think they know what's right, and they will call what we believe the truth as something that's wrong, bigoted, full of hatred. We're talking to people about the love of God. We're talking about the salvation that is possible through knowing Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We talk about how people can have eternal life, the assurance of salvation, that when they step from this mortal coil, they can step into something far, far more. And yet people are called, accuse us of being wrong. Friends, the word of God is not wrong. The word of God clearly shows us the way of salvation. The word of God clearly proclaims that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no way to God except through him. That's not hateful, but that's truth. And part of being a disciple is sharing that truth. Maturity means that we move beyond spiritual infancy. Maturity in Christ means that we move into living witness. Maturity in Christ means that we live the way that God has called us to live. And if we're living according to God's ways, we should be full of joy. A mature believer isn't someone who just attends church. A mature believer is part of the church, the church. And the church must overflow in gratitude and witness. The church must overflow in serving the Lord. The church must overflow in the way in which it disciples itself and disciples others. Tim Keller once wrote this: the gospel is not just the ABCs of the Christian life, it is the A to Z. Every step of discipleship is centered in the gospel. Every step of discipleship is centered in the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Saviour, that we can know him, that we can be accepted, that we can be forgiven. Discipleship is reminding ourselves of that and telling others about that too. But let me say, maturity is not based on how much you know. Maturity is based on how you live out the gospel. Maturity is based on our obedience, our humility, and our love. That's the measure of our maturity. Let me present the gospel, the foundation of discipleship. At the heart of our vision statement is the gospel. At the heart of our mission statement is the cross. Without the cross, there's no transformation. Without the cross, there's no forgiveness. Without the cross, there is no way that we can be saved. If Christ was not risen, there is no opportunity for new life. But the gospel is this: Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came at the perfect time. He lived the life that we could not live. He was sinless, he was holy, he was righteous. And he died the death that we deserved. He took upon himself all of our punishment, all of our sin, all of our shame. And he completed the work at the cross. And he died, and he was buried. But on the third day, he rose again, and he is victorious over sin. He is victorious over death. He is victorious over the grave. And when we accept him as Lord and Saviour, when we come to him by repentance and faith, We are forgiven. We are adopted. We are given new life and the assurance of a place in heaven. Friends, the foundation of our discipleship is the gospel. We grow in faith, not because we want to earn our salvation. We cannot earn it. There is nothing that we can do that makes us worthy of the sacrifice that was freely given for us. We can't earn it, but we can accept it because it's freely offered to all who will believe. Let me give you a call to action. Go and keep growing in Christ. What does all this mean? How do we apply it? For us, we need to keep walking with Jesus. Discipleship is something that we're meant to do daily. Not, oh, if I'm in church for a couple of hours on Sunday, I might learn something more about Jesus. We're meant to dig into the Word. We are meant to submit to transformation. We're meant to be humble. We're meant to be obedient. We're meant to be willing to change, to allow God to shape us, to mould us, to move us. And we should be engaging in mentoring. We should be willing to be taught. We should be willing to teach. We should be willing to spread the truth of the Word. And all of us need to pursue maturity. We need to grow stronger in our faith. We need to understand truth. We need to overflow with gratitude for what Christ has done for us. But it's easy to be distracted, isn't it? We can sit in church and we can look at our electronic devices and we can make people around us think that we're looking up Bible verses when actually we're liking things on Facebook. Or perhaps even doing our online shopping because we want to get a Tesco's delivery tomorrow. But we can look like we are worshipping God when we're completely distracted and focused on something that is of no importance whatsoever. Let's pursue maturity. Let's pursue time with the Lord so that we can grow. Perhaps you've been trying to live better. Perhaps you've been trying to grow stronger. Perhaps you've tried to mature yourself. But if Christ is not at the center of our lives, it will never happen. So for us to pursue, for us to engage, for us to submit, for us to keep walking, let's put Christ at the center of everything that we do, everything that we say. And will fruit come from it? Yeah. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. Those in your household need you to tell them about Jesus. Those in your household need you to be a disciple that disciples others. So let me encourage you this morning, begin the discipleship journey again today. Not in your own strength, but in His. Friends, discipleship is not easy, but it's worth it. Discipleship is a lifelong journey. Discipleship will lead to transformation. Discipleship comes from our obedience, our humility, and our maturity. So this week, live as disciples. This week, walk daily with Christ. This week, mentor others and share the truth by being a living witness to Him. Friends, may all of us grow in our knowledge. May we all grow in grace. May we all grow in faith. May we all continue to trust Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour. May we trust Him in every season. May we know Him and know His touch upon our lives. Let me pray. Father God, we thank You for our salvation. We thank You, Lord, that You've brought us from darkness into Your marvellous light. And we thank You that You've called us to be Your disciples. but also to disciple others. I pray, Lord, that you will cause each one of us to examine ourselves, and Lord, if we're falling short of what you expect of us, help us to realign ourselves to your will and purpose for our life. May we share truth. May we be joyful. May we, Lord, share the love that you have for us with the world around us. Move us to action, Lord. May we truly be your disciples and truly follow you. Thank you that you carry us. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with us. Strengthen us, Lord, uphold us, and help us to be the people that you've called us to be now and evermore. Amen. Mm-hmm.